Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 66 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English and can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Podcast.de, Blue Sky and Instagram. There's also a music-based partner project on YouTube called HLITAI Music.
The topic of this episode.
This episode launches my overview of the individual public broadcasting stations in Germany, as far as my sources allow. In the radio episodes on West German broadcasting after 1945, episodes 54, 58 and 62, I provided a general overview, focusing primarily on the political and organizational background. In the upcoming episodes, I would like to delve deeper into this topic, but also mention music selection, current events, and individuals who were active in the station's history.
Political agenda and background.
None. This is not a critical analysis of public broadcasting today, but a historical look at its early years.
The sources that were used.
In addition to online sources, especially the Radio Bremen website, I will use the book We Greet All Our Listeners, Radio Bremen's Early Years by Michael Augustin and Peter Dahl, which was produced in 1995 by Radio Bremen and Edition Temmen. The history of broadcasting in Bremen began on November 30th, 1924. On that day, the Bremen relay transmitter of NORAC, the Nordic Broadcasting Corporation, was officially put into operation. The transmitter initially operated from the radio hall of the city theater, later from the former trade museum, and finally from the old city scales building on Langenstraße. The medium wave transmitter was operated with a mere 250 watts of power, a power output easily exceeded by any modern electric kettle. At the time, NORAC's programming consisted primarily of music and cultural and educational programs, including readings and lectures. News was only broadcast in a limited form, as the state had mandated strict neutrality for broadcasting, and to ensure this, current events and political content were largely prohibited. According to the Radio Bremen book, however, NORAC saw itself more than the other Weimar stations as a current affairs and journalistic medium, and therefore explored the possibilities of news broadcasts. The Bremen relay station began providing its own content for NORAC quite early on. Early highlights included an opera broadcast in 1925, an organ concert from Bremen Cathedral in 1926, and broadcasts commemorating the centenary celebrations in Bremerhaven in 1927. As early as 1926, a dedicated orchestra was founded for the Bremen relay station, initially known as the Bremen NORAC Quartet, and later expanded to become the Bremen Town Musicians. The number of radio listeners in Bremen was initially small. In 1924, there were 10,300 registered radio sets in Bremen. By 1932, this number had risen to nearly 61,000. Even back then, there were conflicts between Bremen and the large broadcaster based in Hamburg, something that would later continue with the NWDR and the NDR. While Bremen strove for greater consideration of its own interests within NORAC, Bremen's influence gradually declined. Initially, the Bremen station contributed 3 to 4 hours of its own programming daily, but by the early 1930s, this had dropped to just 10 hours per week. Furthermore, the Bremen station lost its own frequency and was forced to broadcast NORAC's standard programming. In 1932, under the government of Franz von Papen, broadcasting in Germany was nationalized and programming standardized. When the Nazis seized power in January 1933, they were therefore able to launch their own nationwide radio program. The Papen government had already completed the groundwork for this. For the Bremen station, this meant a further dramatic loss of importance. Program contributions dwindled to almost nothing. Bremen's school radio broadcasts were discontinued as early as 1933, and original spoken word contributions became increasingly rare. The importance of the Bremen radio station increased again with the outbreak of war. As a major city in northwestern Germany, Bremen was within range of Allied bomber formations from an early stage. The Bremen station now had to regularly broadcast early warnings about approaching bomber squadrons. Bremen was directly attacked around 170 times. In addition, there were of course the many advance warnings of bomber formations flying near Bremen that could have attacked the city. The town hall concerts were suspended between 39 and 42. However, they were resumed in 1942 as a signal to the population that Bremen was still very much alive. This aligned with Goebbels' wartime broadcasting plan: distraction, reassurance, and relaxation. The Alte Stadtwaage Broadcasting Center was destroyed in October 1944. However, Bremen's broadcasting facilities remained intact, so that messages could be transmitted from a nearby bunker until the city was occupied. For Bremen, the war ended on April 27, 1945, with the city's occupation by British troops. Initially, Bremen was part of the British occupation zone, and therefore received its broadcasting from NWDR, the Northwest German Broadcasting Corporation, headquartered in Hamburg. This station was essentially the successor to NORAK, modeled after the BBC, and provided programming to the entire British zone: Lower Saxony, Hamburg, Schleswig-Holstein, Bremen, West Berlin, and North Rhine-Westphalia. However, because the Americans, whose occupation zone was located more in the south of the country, insisted on their own supply port, Bremen and Bremerhaven were separated from the British zone and became an American enclave in the north. The Americans began building their own radio station for the local population, contributing equipment and funding. American Sergeant Edward E. Harriman, born in Hamburg, oversaw the station's construction. On December 23, 1945, Radio Bremen went on the air. According to the source text, page 15, the first announcement, initially broadcast in English and later in German, was: "This is Radio Bremen on 210 meters, 1429 kilocycles. Radio Bremen is on the air daily from 7 to 9 p.m. Hier ist Radio Bremen auf Welle 210 gleich 1429 kHz. Wir senden täglich von 19 bis 21 Uhr. Begrüßen alle unsere Hörer." On page 30 of the source text, the following is stated regarding this first broadcast: "After several test broadcasts, the time had come on December 23, 1945. Radio Bremen began its regular broadcasts. At the microphone on the balcony of the town hall, Mayor Wilhelm Kaisen. Those involved recount that everything went wrong during this first transmission." According to the US occupation authorities, Radio Bremen's mission consisted of three tasks: broadcasting world and local news, broadcasting a cultural and educational program, disseminating communications from the civilian government as well as announcement and decrees from the military government. The following article appeared in the Weser Kurier on October 31, 1945, and is reprinted in the book source on page 29, further explaining the station's mission: "Among the Germans, only those are to build up German radio that have proved through their intellectual resistance during the past years that they are strong enough to provide German culture with a sound foundation upon which to rebuild. In this way, Radio Bremen is to be a driving force and encourager of what Bremen, as a cultural city, can offer the entire cultural world." The newspaper Weser Kurier published appeals for anyone with broadcasting experience to contact the station. One of the station's first employees was Hans Günther Österreich, who had run the Belgrade military radio station during the war and had made Lale Andersen's song Lili Marleen world famous. This proved to be a stroke of luck for the station, as Österreich brought with him a deep understanding of music and entertainment programming. To be able to produce any programming at all, however, materials were needed. Almost nothing from the old Reich Broadcasting Corporation was available locally. The station therefore launched further appeals for materials through the Weser-Kurier newspaper, records and books on every conceivable subject for the station's cultural department. The Americans supplied the technical equipment, transmitters mounted on an army truck and an outside broadcast van, which was a converted American 2.5-ton truck. The initial transmission power was a meager 2 kilowatts, roughly the power of a modern vacuum cleaner. But that had to suffice for the city area. The initially very short program, only 2 hours in the evening, was expanded to 4 hours in February 46, then to 6 hours, and finally to 8 hours daily from 1947 onwards. On page 51 of the book, one can find notes by the director Walter Gerdes, describing the program structure from October 1947. According to these notes, Radio Bremen broadcast a morning program from 6:30 to 9 a.m., a midday program from 12 to 2 p.m., and an evening program from 5 to 11 p.m. during what was then radio prime time. The tone of broadcasts back then was different than it is today. Reporters made a great effort to paint pictures with words. Interviews were staged very differently than they are today, and the atmosphere was considerably more serious. On pages 16 and 17 of the book, the following is written about the first months of radio broadcasting. The news program Daily Review was among the most listened to programs at the time. Anyone listening to early recordings can hardly escape the impression that the reporters particularly enjoyed the nourishing reports from agriculture, fish processing, and tobacco manufacturing. A daily program was called Radio Bremen Says Thank You. It was aimed at listeners who had brought their own records to the radio station. Thus, there was also music and jazz was broadcast from American collections. A special feature was the spoken newspaper, which was produced in cooperation with the Weser-Kurier newspaper. Due to a paper shortage, the printed newspaper could not yet be published daily. Radio Bremen had a dance orchestra and an entertainment orchestra. The 2 millionth care package, aid shipments from the USA, was delivered under the watchful eye of Radio Bremen. That's how important news about food was back then. When on the day of the currency reform, June 20, 1948, all the shops were suddenly well stocked again, Radio Bremen naturally reported on that as well. The first unloading of a coffee steamer from Brazil was also the top news story of the day, and the unloading of the cargo was even supervised by the police. The school radio program, which had been discontinued in 1933, was quickly revived. Since there was initially very little teaching material available in schools, radio enriched the lessons. American funding ensured that most schools in Bremen were equipped with radios and could participate in the school radio program. After just 1 year, 340 classes comprising around 15,000 students were already involved. From 1948 to 88, accompanying booklets for teachers were also available. The school radio editorial team consistently endeavored to align the content with the school curriculum. However, the Bremen station always suffered from its small size and weak funding. When the postal service resumed collecting broadcasting fees in July 1945, the Bremen station did not receive its money directly, but only indirectly, through the NWDR, the Northwest German Broadcasting. The NWDR, however, opposed the existence of the Bremen station and demanded that it join its own broadcasting area. The Bremen station refused and insisted on its independence. Even the Americans admitted that Radio Bremen was ultimately too weak financially. As early as February 46, Walter Gerdes, a German, became deputy director of Radio Bremen. For the time being, however, the station remained under American control. From July 1946, Gerdes served as director. He then assisted the Bremen Senate in drafting a broadcasting law, which, however, did not come into effect until the spring of 49. At that point, Radio Bremen was transferred to German control. In 1948, Radio Bremen established a branch office in Bremerhaven. The program Voice of America had also been broadcast via Radio Bremen since 1946. The then mayor of Bremen gave Radio Bremen the following advice, printed in the book source on page 53. Maintain the local focus, because it's of more interest to people outside than is often assumed. The large NWDR, which could of course also be heard in Bremen, was considered too broad in scope and lacking in regional focus, which was probably unavoidable for a station that had to cover half of West Germany and West Berlin with just one program. Radio Bremen, on the other hand, could concentrate strongly on Bremen and Bremerhaven. Thanks to a generous American financial injection, Radio Bremen was able to build a new broadcasting center on Heinrich-Hertz-Straße and move in by July 1950. However, financial problems persisted. At the beginning of 1951, 60 employees had to be laid off to keep the station afloat. Nevertheless, there were enough funds to replace the old American broadcast van with a new small red one. Radio Bremen gained national political significance when in 1952 it broadcast the transfer of Heligoland to the Federal Republic of Germany. Incidentally, the broadcasting fee remained at 2 Deutsche Marks at that time, as it had been since 1924. Advertising on Radio Bremen initially cost 8 Deutsche Marks per second. In the early 1950s, the Bonn government under Chancellor Adenauer attempted to bring broadcasting in Germany under its own control. During the Weimar Republic and the Nazi era, broadcasting had been controlled and organized by the national government. Now the individual states held the decisive authority. Radio Bremen saw this as an opportunity and largely attempted to cooperate with the Bonn government, while the states and other broadcasting corporations offered varying degrees of resistance. The book source describes on page 20 how far the Bremen station went in accommodating the Bonn government, even violating ethical boundaries in the process. At that time, Radio Bremen went to an astonishing extent to comply with the wishes of the federal government. Once a week, listeners' questions were answered, interspersed with sham questions whose answers were obtained directly from the federal government's press and information office. This program ran until mid-1956. The cooperation with Bonn, however, brought the Bremen station no additional funding, and the Adenauer government's attempt at centralization ultimately failed. In December 1956, Radio Bremen had to lay off 76 employees and disband its orchestra to avoid financial collapse. In 1957, the station was forced to capitulate to NDR, the North German successor to NWDR, and signed a contract that ended its independence. However, the contract never came into effect. In July 1957, Heinz Kerneck became the new director of the station. His primary goal was to maintain the independence of the Bremen station. He succeeded in establishing good personal relationships with the NDR management. With the help of the ARD Financial Equalization Scheme, which became a permanent institution in April 1959, Radio Bremen was able to get its financial problems under control. Until 1952, Radio Bremen had only one radio program. This evolved into the station Bremen 1, which still exists today. From April 1952, a second program was introduced, primarily focused on cultural programming with spoken word segments and classical and contemporary music. It was broadcast on FM from the outset. This program still exists today as Bremen 2. In its early days, Radio Bremen was able to attract big names to its programming or at least broadcast their performances live. Many people will surely recognize the following names: Hans-Joachim Kohlenkampf, Heinz Rühmann, Lale Andersen, Heinz Erhardt, Josephine Baker, Elvis Presley, Inge Meisel, Rudi Carrell, and Loriot, Vico von Bülow. The country's political elite also frequented Radio Bremen, including chancellors Konrad Adenauer, Ludwig Erhard, Kurt Georg Kiesinger and Willy Brandt. One of the most popular radio programs was a crime satire with the curious title Dickie Dick Dickens, which aired from 1959 and ran for 3 seasons with a total of 40 episodes. The series revolves around the pickpocket Dickie Dick Dickens, who wreaks havoc in Chicago. The show was a huge hit and achieved cult status. Unfortunately, the tapes disappeared from the radio archives under mysterious circumstances. Seasons 2 and 3 were recovered using recordings from listeners, and season 1 was reproduced in 2008. When television launched in West Germany in 1954, Radio Bremen was among the first to participate. The station had already been running a small television project since 1952. With the founding of ARD Television, Radio Bremen was permitted to contribute up to 5% of the total programming. However, television in Bremen had a very modest start. At the beginning of 1955, there were only 573 registered television sets in Bremen and Bremerhaven. Radio remained the dominant medium in Germany until around 1960, when it was finally overtaken by television. Radio Bremen broadcast its first evening program in 1958. From 62 onward, the station regularly contributed 3% of the ARD television programming. When the third program N3 launched in northern Germany in 1965, later renamed NDR Television, it was a joint production of NDR, Sender Freies Berlin SFB, and Radio Bremen. To accommodate the increased workload, a new television studio was opened in Bremen-Osterholz in 1967. The third radio program launched in November 64, initially aimed exclusively at migrant workers, but then expanded into a full-service program with light music in 85. This station eventually became Radio Bremen Melodie. In the 1960s, Radio Bremen developed several groundbreaking formats, including the pop music program Beat Club, which ran from 1965 to 72, and its successor Musikladen, which continued until 84. These two ARD programs were very popular among young people, and Beat Club in particular had the potential to spark arguments between generations in German families about television programming. 83 episodes of Beat Club were produced and exported to 30 countries, including Finland, Hungary, then an Eastern Bloc country, Thailand, and Tanzania. In Germany, the program achieved ratings of up to 63% among all Germans and 75% among teenagers. The successor program Musikladen offered a wider variety of music and was therefore also more popular with older generations. Radio Bremen developed the talk show 3 nach 9 for N3. Starting in 1977, news broadcasts in Low German were also aired for the first time, and this program still exists and is broadcast Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m. on Bremen 1. In 1979, the Bremen Broadcasting Act was reformed. Since then, there has been no director general, but rather a 5-member board of directors. In 1980, the program Buten und Binnen was developed for regional television and it continues to this day. In December 86, the youth radio program Bremen 4 was launched. Until 92, it was characterized by a very high proportion of rock music, after which it underwent some minor changes. Since the 1990s, Radio Bremen has used the radio data system RDS, which transmits information alongside the FM audio data stream on a data channel and is particularly important for traffic reports. This system replaced the older ARI system, the Motorist Radio Information System, which operated from 1974 to 2008. In 1999, the ARD financial equalization system was reformed, which put Radio Bremen under financial pressure. By 2006, the station had lost a third of its revenue and therefore had to significantly streamline its operations. In April 2010, Radio Bremen 1 ceased broadcasting on medium wave. Reasons for this included both cost and low listenership. FM radio was the standard at the time, offering significantly better audio quality, albeit with a shorter range, and the digital standard DAB, or rather DAB Plus, had already been launched. Currently, as of early 2026, Radio Bremen broadcasts the following radio programs. Bremen 1, which primarily features oldies, melodic pop and sports. Bremen 2, which can be considered a mixed daytime companion program. Bremen Cosmo, the global sounds radio produced in cooperation with WDR and RBB. Bremen 4, which primarily broadcasts pop and rock. Bremen 5, the parliamentary radio station which works closely with NDR Info. And Bremen Next, the youth station.
A few finishing words.
That was a journey through the eventful history of Radio Bremen, from its humble beginnings as a 250-watt transmitter in the city's Weyhaus, to its current status as an innovative breeding ground for cult programs like Beat Club. It's impressive to see how this small broadcaster has maintained its independence against all odds and financial storms. Next on the agenda is the history of Süddeutscher Rundfunk, or SDR.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.